Every morning, Terry and Armstrong talk Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 20th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I'm here this morning to update you on everything that happened on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds yesterday. Yesterday, on these feeds for Big Brother Canada, we were expecting the twists to happen. But as far as we know, we don't know. We don't know. So, I think I've probably got a co-host somewhere that's in a room watching me, but I don't know yet. We'll have to find out. You can join me in the chat on YouTube if you want to chat along with the feed update and all the good stuff. So just come along with me on this journey of self-discovery as people discover things. Maybe, probably, who knows? All right, so we started the day yesterday here, and we had Anthony. Anthony was doing a lot. He was doing a lot. Anthony started the day talking with Dane. Dane let Anthony know. So here's one of the things that happened here. Kiki, apparently, last night, overheard a conversation that Sam was having with, I think, Chelsea and perhaps Kira, where Sam was saying that she knew she had to take out Adam eventually. Something along those lines of Sam taking Adam out of the game. Kiki says she overheard this conversation. She told Dane about it. Dane tells Anthony about it. And so Anthony is, of course, going to run with this. And, you know, Dane is going to ask Kiki later in the day, like, what was this conversation? Was Sam saying that she was going to take Adam out? And Kiki was like, kind of. I mean, I don't know how serious she was, though. And so this sort of, like, maybe not serious overheard thing about Sam saying, well, maybe Adam needs to go eventually, where she's talking to Chelsea. And Sam does say things along these lines on occasion, like, right after a fight she has with Adam, but then she's right back to like, I'm gonna have your babies. So this is definitely not serious. This goes to Dane, then it goes to Anthony, and by the time it goes to Anthony, the game of telephone has become, oh my God, Sam and Chelsea are secretly plotting to evict Adam. Oh no. Oh no. It's too much. They're masterminds. They're way ahead of us. They're going to align with Kiki and Esty, and it's going to be an all-women's alliance, and they're going to come for us. They're so smart. How did they know? That's kind of what's going on with the pretty boys during the day. Anthony is going to go to Adam in the morning, and I talked a little bit about this yesterday, and he is going to potentially try to make a flip happen. I don't know exactly what's going on here, but Anthony says that Damien is coming for Adam, and as far as I know, this is also at the very least an exaggeration. I don't know how well Anthony actually knows this. Certainly Damien is not he's not coming after Adam, but he's not also like actively telling everyone he's going after Adam's like Anthony is insinuating. Adam's kind of just like, whatever. I'm not flipping the vote here. Caitlin has to go. If Damien's coming after me, then maybe we can make a deal with him or something. We can get him to not come after me. We're not flipping a vote. So Adam goes straight to Chelsea and he's like, Chelsea, Anthony's telling me that Damien's coming for me. It kind of seems like he wants to flip the vote. And Chelsea's like, no, we're not flipping the vote. And he's like, yeah, this is kind of what I was thinking. I don't really want to flip the vote. Like, whatever. We can make a deal with Damien or something. Meanwhile, Anthony goes to Dane. He's like, can you believe it? Can you? I just talked to Adam and he went straight to Chelsea. We can't trust him with anything. He just goes straight to those women. What are we going to do with him? They have to get him away from these women. They're too powerful. They have too much influence. Because, I don't know. Because Anthony isn't able to brainwash them? I don't know. But then Adam goes to talk to Dane. And Dane is kind of like, you know, letting him know about, you know, what the conversation they just had. And Adam's like, I don't understand. Like, Anthony made it seem like it was totally cool to go talk to Chelsea about this. And that, now he's annoyed at me. What does Anthony want? The cracks are forming between Adam and Anthony, where Adam's starting to see that Anthony is really starting to try to push him in a direction that he doesn't want to go, and he's not pleased with it. He's like, stop! Why are you doing this to me? And meanwhile, Dane, who has always been the one that's been obsessed with Sam, who has always been the one that's been like jealous of Adam and Sam and like really trying to push Sam out of the game, is playing this a lot better than Anthony because he keeps his complaints on the down low, right? And he's just like convincing his people to go after Sam. And when he talks to Adam, he's like, oh, I feel you, man. That Anthony trying to get Sam out. Oh boy. I mean, we have to get Sam out, of course, but you know, Anthony, he's pushing so hard. And so Dane is like the shoulder that Adam is crying on, you know, despite the fact that he's probably the most obsessed with Sam. Anthony, of course, is wanting Sam out, but also now wants Chelsea out, as we talked about yesterday, now that he heard that Chelsea has been dropping his name. So, you know, Chelsea needs to watch out too. Anyway, Kiki is going to talk with Dane, and this is that's the beginning of the Pretty Boy storyline from yesterday, where there's a potential vote flip, but not really, and it's just a lot of cracks forming and tensions rising, and you know, needing to get out each other's allies, even though there's plenty of other people in the house to get out. Another storyline that is not as fun here. Last night, or the night before, I should say, during the pizza outage, as I like to call it, there was some stuff that went down, and so over the course of the, you know, it's day 18 in the house that I'm talking about on yesterday, and over those 18 days, Kiki has had some issues with Kira. The first couple nights of feeds, Kiki had complained that Kira was trying to snuggle with her against her will, and that made her feel very uncomfortable. And there have been a few other incidents similar to that. And now, yesterday, Kiki is talking to Dane about how during the pizza outage, she felt very uncomfortable because Kira basically grabbed her face and tried to make out with her, and she had to physically like dodge in order to avoid it. And then she was talking to Kira about it, and Kira said, you know, oh, I only did it because you said you wanted to make out with everyone. And Kiki was like, I did not say that. You know, it's like, that is not true. So Kiki, again, feeling uncomfortable about, you know, physical actions toward her from Kira. Kira's side of the conversation that, you know, Kira talked to Chelsea about it, and they said from their perspective, it's almost worse. From Kira's perspective, they say they jokingly went to kiss Kiki, and they weren't really going to make out with her, but you know, ever since then, Kiki's been super weird about it, and Kiki just needs to man up and kiss someone and stop being paranoid about it. I don't think she's ever had sex, they say. At which point, Chelsea's like, stop. Just stop. And that was a very nearly direct quote. Yeah. Whoa, says Rob in the chat. It's not good. I mean, this is very bad. For as much as Big Brother Canada has been talking to people in the house, I really hope that they talk to Kira about this, because this is an instance where Kiki is very much feeling uncomfortable and very much telling people, and something needs to happen there, because let me tell you, this is not an isolated incident. We talked about it before. Kiki has felt uncomfortable before and complained about it before, and Kira has talked about Kiki in a very demeaning way before to Chelsea and to other people, where, you know, they're saying that they're immature. There's Kiki, I guess at one point early in the feeds, had confided in Kira about how she had dealt with anxiety issues, and Kira was like making fun of that at one point. And it's just like, oh man, this is not a good situation, and I really hope that it gets resolved, because Kiki should not have to deal with this in a house where there are cameras everywhere and people can be intervening and protecting her from this kind of feeling uncomfortable. So very, very not good. I really don't like it, and I hope that this can be addressed. I mean, Big Brother Canada is like way more on top of this than Big Brother US usually is, so I'm surprised there's, you know, nothing has really been hammered down yet, but what are you gonna do? That was probably the big controversy of the day. And yeah, not fun, not good. Anyway, we'll hope that gets resolved, but the feeds do go down. One of the other big storylines from yesterday is that the vote for the twist, which was somebody gets to enter the blood veto room and, you know, watch exclusive top level intel video footage of their other house guests. And the vote ended for that. And we expected that something was going to happen. That somebody was going to get chosen, somebody was going to go in, see some footage. Perhaps the pretty boys are going to be exposed. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen here. The feeds went down for a couple of hours, and we're like, is this it? Is this going to happen? Feeds come back. Nothing. No indication of anything that happened. Maybe somebody went in, maybe somebody saw something, but we don't know. There's maybe a little bit of speculation that perhaps Damien went in and he was chosen, because he was kind of acting a little shady after the feeds came back. Like, maybe he had seen something, he was like looking around for things, but we really don't know. I'm seeing a lot of people, Masonry in the chat. Please let that be it. I believe I saw Nikki say something along the lines of, if this was the twist, then it was a good twist. It would be great. It would be great if this was, in fact, that it did happen, and that, that nothing seems to have really come of it, that maybe they just watched people for an hour, they didn't catch anything, or maybe they just saw some preseason stuff or whatever. There was a surprising amount of talk about, like, what if people are watching us, right after the feeds came back. So we're just like, oh, like, why would they be saying that? But they kind of say that all the time. So there you go. Perhaps it happened, perhaps it hasn't, but nothing seems to have come of it quite yet. And, I'm pretty happy myself. I mean, I'm pretty pleased so far, at least. We'll probably find out if something happened here on Thursday, I imagine. There's some Retro Ranch in the chat says they think that Kalen got it. Kalen was one of those people that were kind of talking about it, like maybe they knew, maybe she knew something, but.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
You know, who knows? Kaylin is talking about, like, how she has this big speech planned and that like she's gonna she was talking to Eddie about like maybe calling a house meeting and dropping some knowledge, or perhaps in her speech she's gonna like blow up some kind of big bomb. So maybe she learned something in there and she's just saving it for a speech or a house meeting, but I don't know. If that's the case, she's really not using this information very well, because she needs the votes now, not, you know, right before she gets evicted. But what are you going to do? So, by the way, Kalen and Eddie, yeah, Nikki points out correctly, it's not a real house meeting because she's not inviting certain people, and the people that she's not inviting doesn't indicate that she knows the true positions of people in the house, right? So Adam, Kira, Sam, and Esty, Nikki says, are the people not invited to her supposed house meeting that may or may not happen, which, like, if she knew about the Pretty Boys, that grouping of people makes no sense. If she knows about anything, really, that grouping of people doesn't make any sense. So my guess is she probably doesn't know much, and she probably doesn't have any information, and perhaps not even has gone into the room. So, like I said, we don't really know anything, but we'll find out, I guess, tomorrow. All right, so feeds come back, and we have... oh, sorry. Yes, I was going to mention also, Kalen had another argument with Eddie. Kalen really likes to... Kalen's one of those people that, like, when things are bad, she likes to just berate her friends and, like, blame them for things. So Kalen's just going to, like, go off on Eddie for, I don't know, all of her troubles. And Eddie's like, why are you doing this? Why are you like this, Kalen? That was, like, probably the biggest bit of drama on the feeds yesterday. Melissa in the chat says, Taryn, don't forget to talk about Adam and Corey playing pool and Adam saying he trusts Dane, Anthony, and Mark. Owen, Sam, and Chelsea. Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't want to undersell this because it happens a lot and I've brought it up a couple times. So I like usually when it's a repeat, I don't, you know, keep talking about it. But Adam is constantly telling all kinds of people in the house, yeah, I'm working with the boys. I trust the boys. They're great. The boys are awesome. Dane, Anthony, Mark. Yeah, those three boys, they're great. I'm working with them. People do not. Like, it's almost like a double bluff. Like, it's almost like he's being so obvious about it that nobody actually sees through how dumb it is to be so obvious, right? Like, nobody's even able to think through, like, could he be in a secret alliance with them? Because that thought is so far removed from the Adam that they see, which is like this dummy that's too trusting. Like, that it's too smart. Like, their perception of Adam is not one in which they're able to think, could he secretly be playing us with these people because he's saying that he's working with them to their face. If anything, if Adam was more cagey about it, like, oh, I don't trust them, but I'll still work with them, but I don't trust them. Like, if anything, that is probably worse. That would be more sketchy because they'd catch some contradictions. But instead, he just appears to be just a very upfront bad liar like I run my mouth too much, and that perception makes them think he can't be playing them. It's very interesting, actually, because people are constantly complaining about how are they not seeing through this? How are they not seeing it? He's saying it all the time. But I think it's actually more complicated than that. And I think that the fact that he's saying it all the time actually makes it less more difficult to figure out that the pretty boys are going on. And it's the people like Mark and Anthony who are a lot cagier about things that they get a little more skeptical about, because they're catching contradictions and they're seeing that this person is smart and they could be playing them, and that sketches them out. It's interesting. It's interesting to examine. Here we go. Adam says, I never even hear Corey being mentioned in the updates. That's a winning game. Yeah, I like Corey. I think that she has good instincts in the game. I think that she is good at giving people what they want when they talk to her. And she is not really involved in a lot of the machinations quite yet. Basically, where Corey stands right now is a lot of people want to work with her. Kaylin still doesn't like her very much because of the final two thing, but also, you know, I don't know, other things. She's the female Adam. But Corey, this is a little bit later in the day, but Chelsea and Sam talked about bringing Corey into their sort of idea of a 7-person alliance. They talked to Corey about it. Corey's like, cool, I'm in. That's cool. But Corey's real allegiance, I believe, seems to be with Anthony. And that's really the most dangerous part of where Corey lies right now, is that Anthony is really working her as an asset, if you want to use spy terms. And he is, you know, she is going back to Anthony and being like, so they're pulling me into this thing and I'm giving them what they want, but we know. Like, we know what's really going on about Sam and Chelsea. And so Corey is kind of listening to Anthony. And in fact, Corey is probably one of the people who is most susceptible to Anthony's manipulation at the moment. She's still in a great spot because nobody really thinks about her. She's still, I think, coming in late and being able to just kind of lie low has worked really well for her so far. But I'm still up in the air personally about, like, what happens when she really enters the game proper, and how is she going to handle that once people start to see her as an actual player that they need to contend with? You know, she's starting to get involved in alliances. She's starting to be, you know, the second she wins one competition, people are really going to start to see her as a player in the game, and things might change. So I think that there's reason to be optimistic about Corey. But I would hold my, you know, expectations until we see a bit more personally. So we have Eddie and Chelsea. They have a conversation about like, you know, one of those, hey, we're good. Things are cool. We like each other. We're going to protect each other. Lots of people still talking about Eddie as like, you know, he doesn't really know what he's doing. He's just going to run to power. Anthony says, like, oh, he's spineless. You know, people, he's really doing well with the perception that he wants to give off. But still very few allies. And one of the people that feels pretty decently with him is Chelsea. And so in this conversation with Chelsea, they're talking and like, oh, we have our backs, blah, blah, blah. And he kind of says, like, you know, I'd probably go after Kira. Unless you said I shouldn't. And Chelsea's kind of like, well, I mean, it'd be fine if you went after Kira, but I don't think they're coming for you. They're probably bigger targets. They're kind of like trying to talk around the fact that they're kind of on opposite sides of the house. And, you know, it's not really working. And I do see Eddie as somebody that's disposable to Chelsea, but I do think Chelsea would still prefer to see some other people go first at the moment. And one of those people, is Esty. As Esty gets closer to Dane, Esty's starting to become a bigger target to this side of the house. This sort of Dane, Esty, Kiki truce with Sam, Chelsea, and Adam is falling apart even faster than perhaps we anticipated. It's barely even lasting the week. So we're probably going to see a war between those two sides very soon. Speaking of which, Dane is going to talk with Esty and Kiki about, you know, hey, even if we're not able to get Sam out, we need to get Chelsea out. Because that's what Anthony is telling him. Anthony is saying Chelsea is perhaps the one that we need to have leave because Chelsea is really the one running the show. And Anthony is right about this. Unfortunately, I think he's right about it for the wrong reasons, but he is right about it. He's right about it because or he's on to it because Adam told him that Chelsea is dropping his name. And so Chelsea is now like, oh, I've had these conversations with Chelsea. I've been flirting with Chelsea. We've had this good relationship. And now she's talking about how I'm sketchy. Like, that's not okay. She needs to go. And so now she has become the monster that Sam once was. And he's starting to say like, no, Chelsea is the real power behind the power. He's really trying to put the target on Chelsea, which, again, is kind of the right move here. Chelsea is the smarter one of that bunch, and to get Chelsea out would really, I think, solidify control over Sam. Not that they didn't already have it, but Chelsea is really one of the more dangerous people to these guys. She is the most difficult to control, and she can't win HOH next week. So Chelsea's starting to really look like she's in a lot of danger, and Dane is going to be able to convince Esty and Kiki here that she is a threat, that she has been dropping Esty and Kiki's names, and that perhaps if they target Sam, perhaps Chelsea is somebody that should not only go up on the block next to Sam, but somebody that they should consider taking out as well, or even instead of. So Chelsea really starting to be in trouble. Chelsea's in trouble. Anthony wants to call a pretty boy meeting. And there's a whole mess of stuff with the pretty boys here. They are just all over the place yesterday on the feeds. They're trying to call meetings, and then, Anthony's not showing up for the meetings. And then, they're all talking about each other behind each other's backs. And, you know, they want one thing and the other people want another thing. And it's all over the place. It's all over the place. Anthony wants to call a house meetings or pretty boys meeting. So Adam and Dane are like, he's going to just try to convince us to flip the vote and to keep Caitlin. But we're not down for that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to go against Chelsea. Dane's women, too, aren't into that idea. So they both agree, like, we're fine. This is, we don't need this. So Anthony is not going to get very far with that. Like I said, there's a bunch of, nonsense about where the meeting takes place and all this stuff. Another thing that, we'll continue on along this track here. Anthony is also going to talk to Mark and let him know before this, whole thing happens that, Kiki heard Sam say that Adam needs to go and that they're, they're trying to get Adam gone. It's a secret plan. They're plotting. Reality Reacts in the chat says, motion to call the pretty boys minus Adam the petty boys. The petty boys. They are quite petty. Then we're going to get Dane and Mark talking about how Sam has to go. We gotta get Sam gone. Get Sam out of here. We took Mackie out. So Adam owes us. He owes us one Sam. We traded one Mackie and we deserve one Sam. That's how this works. I could literally just, like, most conversations Dane has with pretty boys that aren't Adam, just all caps, Sam must go. But he's okay with Chelsea leaving too now. Anthony did manage that. This is really going to come to a head here with Anthony telling Adam, hey, Kiki overheard Sam plotting to evict you. And Adam being like, what? And Anthony's like, yeah, you, these women are playing you. They have a deal. The three of them, you have Chelsea, Sam, and Kira. They are playing you. They have a deal to the end, and you are just being used by them, and you need to turn on them, and like all of this stuff. It's very upsetting to hear for Adam. He does not like this. And it's really just like, I after seeing this, I had a tweet that was just like, Adam formed this guy alliance. He is 100% on board with it. He is more loyal to the guys than he is to his own showmans. He is willing to cut his own showmans when the time comes, when the time is right for these guys. He has said as much constantly. He is really often the one that is correct in like who they should eliminate and who they should bring along. But the rest of the pretty boys are so concentrated on whatever it is, their jealousy, their obsession, that they are often making mistakes and trying to do something else. And Adam is trying to put them back on track. But they see that as further proof of him being under the thumb of people like Sam. And so they are just like, okay, Adam is saying he's willing to do this, but it's clearly not true. He's clearly manipulated by the women, and we need to get rid of the, just kill it with fire. Just get rid of, burn it all down. We need to throw everything we have at Adam. Adam's like, no, I'm cool. We can cut Sam eventually. No. Sam is coming for, she's plotting against you. She's trying to evict you right now. Right now, this Sam and Chelsea, just watch out. They're coming. And Adam's like, but that doesn't make any sense. Nope, it's happening. It's happening. Nikki says they're becoming Cersei. Yes. They're nuclear option. They've got the wildfire. They're trying to do it. And genuinely, I think that in their attempts, just like a relationship that is ruined by jealousy, right? Where, because this is, I genuinely think this is jealousy, where it's like, where one person is just constantly jealous of the other person and accusing them of going behind their backs and just not trusting them, to the point that the other person eventually stops caring about the relationship and like the prophecy becomes true. Like, you made it happen. Like, I feel like this is the same thing, where the more Anthony and Dane and to some extent Mark try to push Adam and convince him and lie to him and tried so hard to get him away from Sam, I think there might come a point in time where Adam eventually is just like, stop pushing me. And he actually goes to Sam and outs the pretty boys. I genuinely think that's the case. And I don't think there's any chance that would ever happen if they were just chill about it. But the more they push, the more they try to manipulate him, the more he's going to be like, why are you trying to manipulate me? I am on your side. Stop. And so I really feel like this is something that could come to a head here. It depends on obviously how the competitions play out and who remains in power and what kind of things that these guys keep doing here. But man, it's just like, it's so overkill. You don't need to worry about Adam. He's the one that came into this game with this plan. It's his plan. He wanted this. So yeah, it's just crazy nonsense. Anyway, I will say Mark is actually one of the people that handles this whole thing the best, along with, surprisingly, Dane, who handles it a little bit better than Anthony does. Anthony just really pushing Adam hard, and Adam is not appreciating it. But Mark really knows how to play up Adam's ego. Talks about how he's like, LeBron James, I don't know, with some sort of athlete, like, you're the star of our team, Adam. We just want you safe. Adam, of course, loves hearing anything that props up his ego. So, good on Mark. Speaking of Mark, Dane is putting in some good work with Mark, Esty and Kiki, where they have been, as we've talked about, and we talked about on the roundtable how Esty and Kiki were really just like over the top, unnecessarily aggressive toward Mark. And Dane is kind of just like, hey, we should probably chill with that. You don't need to isolate him. You don't need to, you know, push him away unnecessarily. No need to antagonize here. And Esty like really ran with that idea. Esty's like, he's totally right. We shouldn't be pushing him away. Like, we don't need to create an enemy, and we should be try to be nicer to Mark. And Kiki's just like, oh, it's hard though. I don't want to. So Esty is going to do this alone. And Esty has a conversation with Mark where she talks to him about how she feels like they've been drifting apart, and that he's kind of been really quiet and doesn't really come to them anymore. And it's kind of worrying her. So she wants to recover this relationship a little bit. You know, she wants to be like, hey, you know, like, let's try to talk more. And Mark is like, yeah, I'm sorry. I'll try to be better. And she says, you know, I still have your back. You know, we had this 4-person thing with Dane and you, and, you know, we want to make this work. It's difficult. You know, Esty really extending the olive branch here to Mark, trying to recover this relationship. I think it can happen, and I think it's important. And I do think it's also very good for Esty here. That it's honestly, it's a good thing for her that Kiki is kind of unwilling to do this, because the tighter a bond that Esty builds with Mark, the more protection she will probably have from Mark himself over Kiki. There's a lot, like I said, a lot of talk, especially from Chelsea's side, about like, hey, Esty is starting to become more of a target than Kiki, because Esty is the person in the middle of Kiki and Dane. But if Esty has the protection of Dane and the protection of Mark, then the two of them together can kind of convince the rest of the pretty boys, no, we need to make sure the target moves on to Kiki over Esty, because Esty is willing to work with us, which means that even if somebody like Sam or Chelsea or Kira or whoever go after Esty, they'll probably put her up next to Kiki, and the pretty boys will probably be able to shift that target onto Kiki over Esty if they feel like Kiki that Esty is the one who is more willing to work with them. So interesting dynamics going on there as the target shifts from Kiki to Esty, but perhaps also the protection of the pretty boys shifts from you know, neither necessarily to Esty. So interesting to see where that one leads. Anyway, whew, lots going on there. We also had, let's see, Chelsea and Sam. They were talking about the Corey thing. Corey is still kind of with Anthony. That's important. Let's see. Let me know if you have any questions here in the chat. Kubi wants to know, who tanked their game the most yesterday? I mean, not yesterday, but Chelsea, I think, has really been tanked, especially, you know, we were high on her in the stock watch for the most part, and because we have faith in her as a player, but her positioning has really been tanking ever since, and especially because of this Anthony thing, and I'm definitely concerned for her position in the house. Anthony really starting to ruin his relationships with some of the pretty boys, particularly Adam. The more he pushes, the less influence he's going to have over Adam. And that's actually important. That's something that Anthony was, you know, despite losing some trust in Chelsea, he at least had basically complete control over the pretty boys, which is important because they are looking like they're going to be dominating the house. And if he has the most influence over them, then he's going to be able to control the end game. But the more he pushes Adam, the less influence he has, and the more Dane and Mark are able to get in with Adam. And now it's looking like Anthony doesn't have as much control over the pretty boys. So that's not great for him either. Let's see here. Kentucky says, I read a tweet that said Adam told Chelsea that the boys wanted to flip the vote. Yes. So another thing that happened last night was Adam went to Chelsea. So after Adam is told by Anthony that that the women are trying to plot and get him out, he went to Sam and he asked her if she's ever said anything along those lines. And she got upset because he wasn't trusting her, and they got into a whole thing. I've said this before, but a lot of times people are like, why do we hate showmances again? And it's like, this is why. Like, it's like they just constantly argue about things. It's so annoying to watch. But they just got into the argument about, like, oh, you don't trust me, and you said, blah, 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 blah. He also went to Chelsea and talked to Chelsea about everything that was happening and about how he felt like some of the guys are trying to potentially flip the vote, and that Damian is potentially coming after him, and that he needs to make a deal with Damian if Damian is going to be staying in the house. And so they kind of got into it about, you know, can we trust the guys? And, Adam is telling, both of these women at various points in their conversations about how, like, why are you constantly pushing me to go after the guys? It feels like you're trying to manipulate me to go against the guys. We have all these other people that are big threats, like Esty and Kiki. And, it's all of this stuff. Rob in the chat says, if you think showmances that argue are bad. Their arguments aren't fun. Rob has very fun arguments with his wife. It's one of my favorite things about the Rob and Nicole podcasts. If let me tell you this, if Adam and Sam argued like Rob and Nicole on the 5 for 5, then I would be a showman stan. Be all about it. So Adam is talking to Chelsea about this and talking about, like, we need to trust the guys. We need to trust the boys. We're working with them. It's fine. It's blah, blah, blah. She says, yes, you're right. The targets will be Esty. Esty is our target now. And we'll have Kira go after Esty. That's what we've got. So that's going on. And then Adam is trying to get to this point where he's trying to say, like, I need to make a deal with Damian. I need to tell him who my targets are. I need to, like, make up a lie to Damian to convince him that, I'm coming after maybe you, or, he can come after somebody else that's not me, like maybe you or whatever. And it's an awkward conversation. They kind of get into an argument. Chelsea does not feel great about it. But again, Chelsea just kind of feels like Adam is a big old dummy. I feel like what we need to understand about how Chelsea sees Adam is that I think Chelsea sees Adam like he is Fessy, right? Like, she sees him like, Fessy, stop believing these people. Stop being such a big doofus. Like, stop being so dumb and talking to people when you shouldn't and revealing things and believing things that you shouldn't. Just listen to us. We know the correct thing to do. But really, he's like, I don't know. It's not really anyone that's that comparable to Adam, to be honest. But really, he's not Fessy. He's not. He's like Fessy if Fessy was like good at the game and in an alliance that was manipulating the whole house, which is like really hard to imagine, but that's Adam. So there you go. Let's see. Any more questions here in the chat? Marietta wants to know, the whole house is kind of entangled together. Is it weird that they're going only for the outsiders and not there are not solid sides? I mean, that's really the consequence of the Pretty Boys, I think. Really, the Pretty Boys just continue to run the house, like, pretty dramatically. And honestly, it's to the point where I'm starting to feel like I am undervaluing the gameplay. Like, I gave Mark a 4 in the Stockwatch on the roundtable, and I feel like that's kind of unfair to Mark. As bad as he's kind of doing in other areas, I do feel like the level of gameplay the Pretty Boys are able to emit here and maintain control, like, it requires at least an average level of gameplay to not screw this up, I think. So, I think they're at least average players working on in a far above average formula, and they're not screwing up. A lot of people have tried to do this in the past, and they have failed. It's not, I think it's a very winning formula, but it does require a certain amount of finesse to make it work. And they are managing to do that. At some points, it seems like they're managing to do it despite themselves, but it is happening. So, I do think that perhaps we need to start giving them a little bit more credit, especially as it continues forward. But maybe we'll wait one more week to see what happens there. Another thing that I think has been vital to their success, though, is that they've now had 3 weeks to build this level of influence. Where they, the first 2 weeks, two of them were in charge. Two of them were the HOH. So they had complete control. They had time to build this up. And then they had Chelsea win, and they had influence over Chelsea because of the 2 weeks that they had built up. And now they've had 3 weeks. And so even if somebody who they've gotten to the point where they've convinced the rest of the house that even if somebody who is not under their influence gets control, they've built up other targets. And, you know, we've got to give them some credit for that. But, you know, they've also gotten a little bit lucky. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Tammy wants to know, is there anybody who would win HOH that would put two pretty boys on the block? It's possible, but there is not anybody right now that is talking about putting two of them on the block. There's not a single person. You know, Chelsea and Sam and Kira are talking about going after Esty, maybe backdooring Dane, but that would not be next to another guy. Kiki and Esty are mostly talking about going after Sam and Chelsea, maybe going after Mark, but probably not, especially now that Esty is trying to repair that bridge under Dane's advice. Damien is probably the closest, where I think Damien is kind of a wild card, but he would likely be influenced by Kiki and Esty to, instead of going after two of the guys, go after Sam or Chelsea. But he might put up Adam at the very least. And I think that Damien is the most likely to, if he perhaps, say, puts up Adam and Sam, that if Sam came down, if Sam won the veto or something, I think that Damien might put up somebody else, one of the other guys, as the replacement, potentially. Eddie is another one that theoretically might, but again, probably wouldn't right off the bat. He's talked about targeting Kira and, you know, not necessarily targeting the guys. He might go after like Kira and Adam or Sam and Adam, but again, not two of the pretty boys. They've really entrenched themselves pretty well here. So right now, the only thing that can break the pretty boys up are themselves or a twist. But I really do think that they will break themselves up eventually once they start coming for each other's people, that, you know, I think tensions are going to rise even more, and there's really going to start to be some splitting going on. Kubi wants to know, should Corey try to keep the two sides of the house at war to win the game? Yeah, I mean, that would be great for Corey if this just kept going back and forth. I mean, it's great for the pretty boys, but it's also great for Corey because she's not really part of that war. So if it went back and forth, like next out is Chelsea, then it's Esty, then it's Sam, then it's Kiki, then it's Kira, like that would be great because that's a lot of people that are not Corey. But then Corey is stuck with a house full of pretty boys in control. And that said, I think those pretty boys, I don't think they're lasting to the final four. I think that they are going to split up. And I think that whoever manages to stay with the pretty boys toward the end of the game, if that is how the game plays out, I think that that person has a good chance to win the game, because I think that the jury will not want to vote for any of the pretty boys. So if one person manages to sneak in because they can't get along long enough to make it to the final four, then that person has a very good chance at winning the game. So maybe that's Corey's road. It's not the road I would like to see, and I think she's certainly capable and there might be better roads. But if in terms of your question with the two sides going at war, then, you know, it's not a bad option necessarily, but it's not necessarily the best option either. There really needs to be a shakeup to blow up the pretty boys. They're too pretty, too much pretty in the house. Let's see. Is this the most unlikable cast in BB Can history? Asks Kentucky. I don't know. It's a little early to call that, I think, but I do feel like we are seeing the result of, like, there are fans of the show in the house, but, like, I don't think there's anybody in the house that had watched the feeds before. And I think that we're seeing gameplay. We're seeing, like, decent gameplay here and there. It's not like it's a house full of Mackies, but we're not seeing Big Brother Canada 6 level of gameplay where, like, half of them were feeders and, like, it was all over the place and it was great and they were not being bad people and it was fun, but the editors couldn't keep up, right? Like, the Big Brother Canada people, they didn't know how to handle that level of gameplay and intricacy. And so I think that maybe it was intentional, maybe it wasn't, but this season we got a step down from that in terms of casting people that were fans, but not like really big fans that know the game that super well, that can be like on the level of Big Brother Canada 6. And so they're gonna have an easier time editing together the episodes, but we're not gonna have as much fun on the feeds with that level of gameplay, or at least that's what is my current theory. There you go. I think that's what we've got for you today. Unless you have any more questions to ask. We did have a conversation between Eddie and Kiki that was kind of weird. Eddie kind of was like, you've talked about being a liar before. And it's like, well, what can you do? They did see a thing where Kiki called herself a great liar. But yeah, that's what we've got for you. Thank you for joining me today. I will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. Not much movement on the vote, and I don't expect there to be unless Kaylin really has some big information to drop. And even then, not particularly likely. But we will see you tomorrow night after the eviction, where we will hopefully get a good HOH to potentially shake some things up in this house. And yeah. Thank you for joining me. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong, and Instagram, and all of the places with the things and the socials and the medias. And yeah, see you next time.